He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Oh, the manifestation of the Father's presence to the Son, which happened because of him wanting to please him, and one brought a reward of the other. But to do the things that please God is the way to secure his presence and the things that come with his presence. And this sermon, the Lord helping us, shall attempt to look at the Savior in two regards. First, we're going to look at our Savior as a mediator, in which office we delight to trust that he is our mediator. And the second thing is we're going to look at Jesus as the model in which our character that we endeavor to imitate. We want to be like Jesus. So right now, I want you to pray with me that the Holy Spirit would help open our minds and our hearts as we enter into these sacred truths within the Word of God. First, let's look at Jesus as our mediator. For Jesus says of himself, as God and as God-man, he is the appointed Redeemer. He said that he was sent, God's Son that was sent. And then he said, I always do those things that please him. And this was true of our Lord in every aspect of his life and of his journey. It was in his incarnation, or before he even came to earth, we find that attitude is within the eternal Son of God. For we read, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. There is Jesus expressing it that we find in the Gospels, but this same attitude is there within the bosom and the heart of Jesus even before he came. It is written of me in the volume of the book, I come to do thy will, O God, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do thy will. In another place in the book of Psalms, speaking of our Lord's coming, we read that he had this. He waketh morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. Even before Jesus came and started his ministry, we read and we know so little of his life in those first 29 years. But we do know that at the age of 12, he was about his father's business. And we know it says of him that he grew in favor with God and man. When at the age of 30, now beginning officially, we read, when the Father spoke at the baptism, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is a statement not just declaring a truth for that present moment, but that statement that the Father made over the Son is in regards to the time from he was born until now when he is beginning the ministry. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. That is going back. Oh, may we also, with that, tell our children they can please God. Let your children, your grandchildren know you can please God. But see Jesus now begin the ministry. We find that he's being led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And three times Jesus was victorious. And we have a witness that he there in the wilderness defeated the enemy. And that also is a sign that he pleased his Father. For we know that he pleased his Father by defeating the enemy in the wilderness, because the scriptures read that the Father sent angels. And these angels were a token or a sign, if you please, that he was pleased with his Son for defeating the enemy, and he had sent them there to comfort him. And throughout our Lord's life, he was always acceptable to God, and he fulfilled in very deed and in very word of the prophet Isaiah in the 42nd chapter in the 21st verse. Here's what it says to show us more proof that the Father was pleased with the Son. it reads, "The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake, and he will magnify the law and make it honorable." We know that Jesus magnified the ceremonial aspects of the law, for he obeyed every precept, and Jesus could say to those know-it-all Jewish people who thought they knew the law but they didn't to the degree that they thought they did, Jesus said, "Which of you convinces me of sin?" He was saying, "Can you find any sin? Can you find that I've done anything that hasn't fulfilled the law and its ceremonial and moral aspects?" They could not. Again, we see Jesus on Mount Tabor, or the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was transfigured and his raiment was as fuller and white and bright, and the glory of God was there, and a sign of God being pleased. Once again, those words were spoken, confirming that God was pleased when he said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him." So it's clear that the glory and the Father manifested upon his Son was more proof that he was pleased with his Son to be and bring that about of his glorification. We find evidence again that the Father was pleased with the Son in St. John 12. I bring up these times when the Lord had a way of showing his approval and his pleasure on his Son, because he also can do it to us. And as we follow his footsteps, he also can come to us and give us that witness at different times in our life that we're pleasing the Lord. I'll bet, Debbie, you were thrilled when he gave you that word of knowledge. It's a sign, if you please, of his approval, of you pleasing him and him helping you. But in John 12, we read these words when Jesus asked the Father to glorify him again. And a voice from heaven said, "I have glorified it and I'll do it again." The miracles, they proved the acceptance that he had with God. Jesus said, "If you don't believe me for my words, then believe me for my works." The miracles, they are evidences that God is pleased. And here is the scripture that validates that. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, when he was preaching, listen to his words in the sermon. "Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye see yourselves." You see, miracles are often evidences of God approved with you as he allows you to be partakers in them. Let me read it again. Peter said, "Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know." That's why I'm thrilled in my soul when God allows me to experience, and I'm sure you likewise are thrilled in your soul when you experience a miracle or a wonder or a sign that is from God showing his approval, as Peter mentioned in his sermon. But let's move on. Let's now move into his death, which was his own voluntary act. That also was so pleasing to his Father out of all of the acts that he did. Yes, as we look at that sacred hour when Jesus, at the Lord's Supper, before he went to the Gethsemane and there to the cross, in that sacred hour when Jesus was rising from dinner, remember, having just drunk the cup, he rose and said, "Let us go hence." And he went without a murmur to be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. See him in the garden with the bloody sweat in Gethsemane when he conquered nature's fears and he took the cup. That's really where he drank the cup, if the truth were known. And as he was about to drink it, he said these words, "Not as I will, but as thou wilt." That's where he drank it. And we can ask this question. As he was doing so in the garden, was that pleasing the Father? And the answer to that is found in the Word of God once again. For we turn to the prophet, and the prophet prophesied correctly when he said, it pleased the Father to bruise him. That is an amazing passage. There was a divine satisfaction given to the Father as he observed the willing submissiveness of his Son. Then we go to the cross, and Jesus there is pressed with grief beyond measure. And there on the cross, Jesus was tried as gold in the furnace, but no dross was found in him. Not until Jesus took his last breath and said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And yes, that pleased the Father to the very end, even death itself. And yes, Jesus always did those things that pleased his Father. But it doesn't end there. Let's push on. It pleased the Father that he should ascend and sit at the right hand of the Father. It pleased the Father that Christ should be our forerunner, preparing our heavenly mansions for us. For the Scripture says, it pleased the Father that in Christ all the fullness of the Godhead shall dwell. Jesus is accepted, and because he is accepted, we are accepted in the Beloved. And we read, it is the Father's good pleasure. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. No wonder the Father hears us when we plead in Jesus' name. For thy Son's sake, Jesus' name. You see, the Father has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that means he gets pleasure when someone comes alive, eternally alive. The Bible says there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. That means that when you lead someone to Christ and the Lord honors you and allows you to be a tool to bring about someone's salvation, do you know there is joy in heaven? But who's leading the procession of the joy? It is the Father. He is saying to the angels, rejoice, rejoice. That pleases the Father. And so may we know that it pleases the Father when you and I witness to someone of the unsearchable riches. Whatever Christ hath done pleases the Father. And if you go in Jesus' name and do what Jesus did, you too can please the Father. When they made sacrifices in the Old Testament and we read the aromas went up and it was a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord, it is because those sacrifices represented Christ. Now, so far, I've spoken of our Lord, though feebly, as our mediator. But now let's look at him as our model. Because it is the business of every Christian to be able to say, I always do those things that please my Father. If you're to be Christ-like, then you also will let that be your prayer. At the outset, let us be reminded that you too, when you receive Christ and you're accepted in the Beloved, and because you being in Christ, you are pleasing God. But the truth is, before you accepted Christ as a sinner, from the sinner comes nothing but sin. An evil tree brings forth only evil fruit. A foul fountain brings forth polluted waters. It is vain to think anyone can do anything that is pleasing to God till first of all you yourselves are reconciled unto God through Jesus Christ. And the way of reconciliation is only by Jesus. There is only one mediator between God and man, that is Christ Jesus. So when your persons are pleasing or your works are pleasing, but until you personally accept Christ and receive eternal life, everything you did is not pleasing. It's coming out of a corrupt tree. And this is why Augustine, the early writer, said, if you think you have virtues before you came to Christ, they are only rightfully splendid sins because it comes out of a wicked tree. This is why we must continually insist, as Jesus said, you must be born again. Paul says, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That is a reference to those trying to be acceptable to God by the law, by works. And again, Paul said, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Which means if you do have faith, you do please Him. Even acts of religion are only pretentious forms of sin until the nature is renewed. The heart must be changed, and the man himself washed in the blood of Jesus and covered and imputed righteousness. But let me begin to wrap this up. In pleasing God, there is implied an avoiding of all things which would displease Him. We cannot say we do always the things which please Him unless we earnestly renounce the follies which vex and grieve His Holy Spirit. Now we know that the works of the flesh are, and those are defiled, they defile our garments, and they're to be put off that we may go unto the wedding with a new garment. Like leaven of old, they are to be swept out of the house. And we also, as God's children, must put off and lay aside all pride and every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and whether it be pride of talent or pride of self-righteousness or pride of wealth or pride of dress or pride of rank or pride of spiritual attainments. For even a haughty word is detestable to God or with God. Among the things which the Lord hateth, we find right away is a proud look. If a proud look is an abomination, what must pride itself be that produces the proud look? Sloth also is another vice which the Lord abhors. He calls the idle servant in the parable, thou wicked and slothful servant. We read, he that knoweth his master's will and doeth it not, the same shall be beaten with few stripes. God is not pleased with those that are idle, wasters of their talents and their time. And even though they may plead that they are gentle folks and they have no need to labor, an idle nobleman is as much to be blamed as an idle plowman. Christians, if you do always the things that please the Father, then we must be diligent servants. If we are to please the Father, then we must be active with our talents. He takes no delight in sluggards and those who are lovers of ease. God is not pleased with unwatchfulness or careless walking, indifference to His commands, or a neglect of continuing to keep our heart cleansed before the Lord. Those virgins who were not thoughtful and they forgot to take oil in their vessels with their lamps, and in the consequence, their lamps went out, and they could not enter the marriage feast with the bride. May we be careful to keep oil in our vessel. Keep oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning till the break of day, or we cannot please Him. There was a place where those five virgins could have gone to get the oil. And there is a place that you and I can go to get the oil. And the first place is the house of God and the Word of God and through prayer and through fellowshipping. May we be faithful and always ready to be faithful in those areas. God is jealous, and we must jealously watch even our thoughts, or we can soon offend Him. Neither is God pleased with anger, which is not only, as far as we are concerned, one fellow said, a temporary insanity. But as God judges it, it is murder. He that is of a hasty, quick, and hasty spirit, he that beareth in his heart ill will against another, and he that seeketh revenge is not acceptable to God and does not please God. God is not pleased with unforgiveness in our heart. If we are to be acceptable, we must always go about doing good as Jesus did and spread happiness all around as Jesus did. Unkind husbands, fractious wives, rebellious children, and domineering parents are far from pleasing Him. God cannot smile upon oppression or craftiness, greed or unthankful attitudes. God doesn't smile at murmuring. God doesn't smile when we complain to the degree that it says in the wilderness they murmured and they could not enter in. God is not pleased with murmurings, complaining, and gossiping, and worldliness, grieves, and God isn't pleased with such things. And the same is true when it comes to the lust of the eye, and the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We live in a day when there's so much lust of the eye and the pornography that is out there. This is not pleasing to God. Come out from among them, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. That is still the word of the Lord today. And we please God on all these fronts. Finally, God is not pleased with unbelief that doubts the power in His love. Neither is God pleased with much cumbering, as in the case of Martha. Thou art cumbered about much. We must serve the Lord with joyfulness. We must hear a sermon with joyfulness. As long as, Pastor, you're not tearing the hide off of us. And I'm not. I'm dealing with the text, how to please God. I close. Let us remember the exhortation, neither murmur ye, as they also murmured and who were destroyed of the destroyer. His Son, Jesus Christ, was free of those things. We must please God. This will not come about by accident. This just won't happen. We must be determined ahead of time to do so. I hope you'll leave here with a new determination. I want to please God. We must give our whole soul ahead of time to please Him. No arrow reaches its mark by accident. If the arrow reaches its mark, it's because the bow was drawn and carefully it was pointed in the right direction. And likewise, the heart must aim with earnest intent and strong desires accompanied with the help of the Holy Spirit. And for these reasons, Jesus spent long nights in prayer. If we fail here in communication, we shall certainly fail in other areas. If we would follow Christ, we also must practice self-denial. For Jesus pleased not Himself. I'm afraid a lot of the pop religion today is so geared to get you to please yourself. You'll not be pleased when you please yourself. That is not where the joy comes from. The joy comes when I deny myself, and then I hear the Father say to me, as He can say to you, I'm pleased with that. My joy is based on that relationship, to hear those. That's where my joy comes from. It doesn't come from me pleasing myself, seeking my own will. Debbie, would you come? Colossians 1 verse 10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Let me read that again. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. Always, 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 always I do those things that please my Father. I've known some think that once a year is sufficient to please the Father. Go to church once a year, or maybe twice a year, or maybe three times a year, and you think that pleases the Father? Oh no, I always do those things that please my Father. Do you think it's possible to please the Father? I do. We can, we must, and we will, because the Holy Spirit is there to help us as it was there to help Christ. The Holy Spirit is not deficient in power. Do you not believe that all things are possible with Him? He is able to do exceedingly above all that we even ask or think. I remember when I came to the Lord at 19 and received the baptism, I was afraid I couldn't live it. But you're right, I couldn't by myself. But the Holy Spirit has helped me all these many years. I close with the words of Jesus. Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Have you failed God? Then grieve over it. Let Him wash you in His blood and cleanse you. Do you wish to live as Jesus lived? Then He will help you. I repeat, I don't know how many years I have. I don't know how many years you have. But how many want to join with me? I want to please the Father. We can please God. We're exhorted to please God. 1 Thessalonians 2:4, would you stand? That's not what it says in 1 Thessalonians 2:4. Let me read to you what it says in 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God. So we would abound more and more. You want to abound more and more? Please God. Please God and you'll abound more. Hebrews 11:5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Hebrews 13:6, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Last verse, Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure. How many want to draw forward? If drawing back he has no pleasure, but drawing forward he has pleasure. I want to please Him. My reward is His approval. That's my reward. My reward is to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. My reward is not big crowds. My reward is not great wealth. My reward is not fame. My reward is His approval. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness. May we live to please You. May we not live to please ourselves, but to please You. You take no pleasure in a soul that draws back, but that means You take pleasure when we draw nigh unto You. Oh God, help us to draw nigh. The altars are open this morning. Let's please God. Let's please God. That's the best thing you'll ever do, is please God. And if we please God, He maketh even our enemies to be at peace with us. When a man's ways please the Lord, I don't know how he does that. I still got a few enemies. But He'll work that out. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, let us seek Him. Thank You, Jesus. Blessed Jesus. Thank you.